Four kinds of meetings have been mentioned: breaking of bread, prayer, edification. But what is a meeting for matters of fellowship? I have never seen one. In my experience, brothers decide in the brothers' meeting and announce their decision to the sisters, who can say if during the week, if they have questions. But no meeting took place or something where the Lord is in the midst. Okay, so I think we got the question. What is a meeting for fellowship or discipline? Simon, did you want to say something on that particularly, or should I just, because this was kind of very close to what you presented. So, I mean, it's just an option. It's, you know,
don't worry. Yes. This is the point I was trying to make. I think there has been a little bit of a tendency for decisions to be made by brothers alone. And I think it is important that where a decision is to be taken of a binding and loosing fashion, I'm not speaking about painting the walls, or we're not talking about decisions like that. We're talking about decisions which decide whether a brother or a sister should be excluded from the gathering because of a sin of some kind, or whether, I'll just leave it like that. In that kind of case, and you can see it quite clearly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a man who was living with his father's wife, not, I don't think, his mother, but he was living with his father's perhaps second wife, and he was living with her as her husband. This was clearly confusion. And even the Gentiles knew it was wrong in Corinth. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But the Corinthians were allowing it to happen. And the apostle said, this has become such a serious matter. You should deal with it. You should judge it. And I have judged it. And I want you all together and judge it. And they would all then, brothers and sisters in that meeting in Corinth, they would all realize, without perhaps knowing every detail about it, although it did seem as if it was well known generally in that city, they would accept, yes, this is a wrong thing, and we have gathered and we've heard the decision, and we've heard the case, and the matter is that brother cannot continue to be amongst us. But as Michael, I think it was Michael mentioned, that kind of decision is always taken with a view to that person being restored to fellowship. And fortunately, that brother did repent. He turned out to be a brother. Paul actually refers to him as if he wasn't. It was such a wrong thing he was doing. It's almost as if the apostle says he wasn't. It could be that he wasn't really a believer after all. But he turned out to be a believer because he repented. And that's what that decision led to. But it was taken on Paul's assistance by the brethren being gathered together. I've no doubt the matter was spoken about to the brethren. Some of the brothers in that meeting said what the situation was and said that according to Scripture, according to God's word, they could no longer remain in fellowship with that person. And that person was disciplined. But later on, he repented. And whereas they had been slow to deal with that problem, they were then slow to receive him back into fellowship when he repented. But the important thing was the Lord had to be in the midst when that decision was taken. Then it could be truly said it's bound in heaven and on earth. And therefore, every other company should recognize that that brother was not in fellowship anymore and he wouldn't be received by any other meeting. I don't think that kind of decision can be made, really. It has, unfortunately, that kind of decision has been made not in assembly, and therefore not with the Lord in the midst and all the brethren present, and consequently, consciences haven't been aroused to realize that's wrong. That brother can't be there. And as a result, sometimes those decisions, when they're taken like that, leads to people saying, well, I'm not sure that was the right decision. But when that kind of process is gone through, as we've explained, then everybody realizes, yes, that is the right decision. And we accept it and we will abide by it. And that leads to that person realizing how serious a sin they've committed. And we trust, if they're the Lord's, recognizing that because of that decision, they must repent and then being received back into fellowship. It doesn't always work out that way today, because unfortunately there are many gatherings, and there are some gatherings where not in fellowship with the gathering that makes that decision will say, well, we don't see it that way. You can come and break bread with us. That's part of the breakdown we have today. But the decision itself should be taken with everybody there. It's not enough to go around and say, do you agree with the decision, brother? I'll put your name down, and yes, we've got the majority. That's not enough. The Lord's got to be in the midst, directing the company. And it may take time for the right decision to be abided by, so that there's not only a clear decision, but it's in unity, and it's been done in dependence upon the Lord. And the Lord's led the brethren to that conclusion about what they should do. That was all I was trying to explain in that case.
Thank you. Just to back this up, perhaps a verse that Simon was alluding to just now in Matthew 18. I think it's quite important on this question. Who has this job of receiving into fellowship, or as the case may be, putting out of fellowship? Matthew 18:18. This is the verse Simon just referred to. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Now, that's the point now. Where does that authority come from? How can two or three people have the authority to bind someone, that means to not forgive his sins administrationally, or to lose him, which means to forgive his sins administrationally. And that is recognized in heaven. Who has such authority? Well, the answer is verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst. So it's not really their authority. It's the authority of the Lord as present in the midst. And that's why Simon said this is got to be in an assembly meeting context that such a decision is taken. I think it's true that normally as local brothers we would talk about such a case, but the important thing is we then wouldn't announce to the assembly, we've taken a decision and this person is now going to break bread. But what I think is announced in such cases is we propose this person to the assembly, and the assembly is asked to consider whether that person is suitable for fellowship, and within a week or two, whatever time is given, they can say if there is any obstacle, and then that person is received. But the point was it's done in this assembly meeting context, because that's the only way to have that authority. It comes from this verse here.
I didn't want to give the impression in the word I gave that a single brother in a meeting gives a word to the saints to encourage them, to build them up, isn't giving edification, because there were other brothers there to also speak in the same meeting. I'm just saying that that's not what's envisaged by the words in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. course, that brother will wish to do something like that. It still is edification. Perhaps the sheep are still called edification on the ministry. But it's not strictly a meeting as it's being put to us by the Apostle 1 Corinthians 14. But if our hearts go out to brothers who are the only brothers in their meeting, and you seek to feed the others in the meeting with them, the sisters, and the younger men who may be not yet able to give a word of encouragement, we should pray for those gatherings. The Lord will help those brothers who faithfully are serving each Lord's day in the brother's position.